Hey everyone, and welcome back to Demon Slayer Chronicles. Today we'll be diving into episode 8 of the Entertainment District arc titled Gathering, which is really the kickoff of the full-on combat, and it is so good to see. As always, my name is Andrew Nimsgren, and alongside me I have Dylan Beal. And Dylan, we got the big reveal. We got the brother-sister combo last time, and now we're getting to see them both in action. It's just beautiful. It's so good to see full-fledged Demon Slayer combat again. I think we've got snippets here and there, but just to see an entire episode of it, God, did I miss that.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've like felt like this for Demon Slayer. I mean, I guess obviously the movie, but like before the movie, man, it's been forever since we've had like a really, really good fight. The feelings I'm getting now is right when we were about to fight the spider demon family. Yep. Thing of like, it's like stuff is getting real, like the stakes feel like super high. So I'm into this right now. It's awesome. And also, yes, both the demons are really cool.
Yeah, both in a unique way. And almost, yeah, the distinct personalities of both of them are so cool. But before I start talking about specific fights or anything like that, let's just do a very quick high-level recap for those of you that didn't just watch the episode like Dylan and I both just did. But it starts off with learning a little bit more about Shinobi history after the demons claimed that they went away hundreds of years ago, claiming that they didn't. And we actually learn a lot about Izui's backstory here that we'll dive into a little bit more. But after that, it's pretty much full-fledged fighting from there. We learn about how the demons have to both be beheaded to kind of kill them. And then we see the group split off, really with Izui taking on Gyutaro, which is Daki's brother. And then the rest kind of being left to take on Daki. And both groups are kind of struggling. But at the very end of the fighting, which I'm summarizing about a 15-minute fight there, we do see one of the wives come out with a giant... What kind of gun is it again there, Dylan?
I have no idea what it's actually called, but it's just like a kunai launcher.
Kunai launchers is what I'm looking for there. Giant, yeah. Kunai launcher where a bunch of them fires in. Izui uses that opportunity to burst in, and him and Tanjiro both about to get the head of Gyutaro cut off right at the very end of the episode. We'll have to wait to see in episode 9 of what goes on there. So that is a 30-second summary of 25 minutes of fighting, so obviously we'll dive more into that. But before we go with anything like that, do we want to start a little bit of the Izui's backstory, as that's what kicked off the episode?
Yeah. Let's definitely talk about that, because we've been getting like a little bit of sprinkling of what's been going on with him. But this is like the first time everything's like actually kind of coming together, right?
No, yeah. I think also as the fighting is starting to build, we're also getting Izui's character starting to build more and more. I think The first couple episodes after Daki was exposed, we didn't see Izui too much. But now that he's here, we got a snippet of backstory here. I'm sure we'll continue getting more as it kind of goes forward and the fight intensifies. So I kind of like how both things are building at the same time. So ultimately, they're both kind of climax at the exact same moment, which is going to make for a great emotional payoff for Izui. And then also at the same time, a great conclusion to the fight, which I think is the best way to kind of do this when they're introducing characters and don't have a ton of time to really flush them all out at once.
Yeah, and one thing I kind of noticed, I don't know if you've gotten this vibe too, but I felt the same exact way, one, when we saw all the Hashira for the first time, and then two, when we were first introduced a little bit more formally to Rengoku, is whenever we see Hashira for the first time, they don't feel human.
Yeah.
Like, whenever they talk, it never feels like they were talking at the main characters. It always seemed like they were just, like, looking straight into the distance, and they were just saying things, and it never felt quite human. I think it obviously was done purposefully, but like now, you know, the past couple episodes, but really now, like Izui, like I'm feeling like he's a real character, and he's like, he literally feels warmer, I guess, like in his dialogue and the way that he's acting. Obviously, it's probably an intentional thing, but like that's the stuff I'm starting to pick up on. And obviously with more of the backstory coming in here, it's like, oh, well, of course, like this is a way to like start to open up the character for us.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think kind of learning more about kind of killing his brother, the history and all of his siblings kind of being killed off until it was just two of them left, and then kind of leaving all that behind to go and join the Demon Slayer Corps. We saw that conversation with a younger of the Demon Slayer Corps leader and all that kind of stuff. So I just think it's really kind of backstory that we don't really get. I mean, we don't know much about Tanjiro's backstory before that. Rengoku's, we got basically no backstory. So it is kind of interesting how they approach each different character differently. And Izui, that came off in the very first episode where they just started kidnapping the three girls from the butterfly house, to now being actually the person that was against that. That's why he had to kill his brother, because he wanted to really care about his underlings. It's really kind of interesting of how it looked like he was going to be his brother, but turned out to kind of be the opposite side of that as we learn more about him and he gets warmer, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah, I'm loving his character so far. I think they do a really good job of, like, I feel like this way with, like, all the characters, but, like, they all grow on you a lot. And by the time you get, like, towards the end of a season or arc, you're like, I love this character. They're incredible. We're just going to have to hopefully not get the same heart punch that we did at the end of the movie. So crossing my fingers right now that we don't get any deaths here. But I don't know. I'm loving the introduction to Shira. And I hope, I don't know, like, I don't want to say I want them to do the same exact thing for all of them. Kind of want them to do the same exact thing for all of them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I think that'll be coming down the road. Right now, I think something that you really liked about that episode was, you talked a little bit in, like, the pre-show, was about his fighting style and kind of what he thought about that.
Yeah, so the thing that, like, really, like, made me think about this was, like, he just says it, like, very bluntly, like, Yutaro is like, oh, well, of course, you're a shinobi before you're a swordsman. Mostly then, like, downplaying his swordsman abilities. But for me, I was like, oh, that, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Like, of course, this is how he's going to approach being a fighter. And, like, whenever he is at his peak in fighting, you can see he's using, like, all the shinobi tactics. Like, he's not running in there with just a sword. He's doing all the crazy stuff, like, on his swords, he's, like, holding the tip to make it longer and throw it out, which is super cool. Or he has those bombs that he's throwing around, or just, like, throwing out the kunais. Like, it's so cool because I feel like if everyone ran around with a big katana and just slashed at people with their breathing techniques, it could get boring. Like, this could get boring very easily. But the fact that we have a Shira that fights in a really unique way, and not only in a unique way, but, like, a way that's, like, I don't want to say accurately tied to the time and era or whatever, because obviously it's not. It's, like, played up. But, like, in the idea of the fantasy of shinobis, like, he really leans into it. I love it. It's so cool.
No, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I think early on, like, oh, wow, Zenitsu, Inosuke, Tanjiro, they all have such their own unique ways. And Zenitsu's using the thunder, jumping around. And I think they do that well with the breathing style and just kind of their character, just the personality. But bringing Azui, it really shows of how similar all other Demon Slayer fighting has been in the show up to this point. There's differences between breathing, but ultimately they're all doing some really cool move with the sword to finish him off. Azui has so many other different techniques, which I really love, while demons have always had such wide varieties of fighting styles. So I really do hope to consider to see that. I think there will be going back to Hashira. I mean, we've seen that the Water Hashira is going to be very much sword-based and all that kind of stuff. But I think seeing some of the other ones in the future not be like that would be a super cool way to continue to spice it up and then go back the routes, the roots every so often here and there.
Yeah, and what I also think is really interesting is part of his fighting style is using his wives, too.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, because, like, at least, like, trying to think back on what everyone looked like, and I don't think his wives were with him when we first saw all the Shira, but, like, I think this is probably a unique thing. I don't think that there are, like, non-Hashira fighting with Hashira. Like, they seem to be, like, an individual there. Now, that might change or whatever, like, they might have a crew, but, like, at least this one, it's the first time we're seeing, like, a Shira has, like people with them, fighting with them. And actually, I don't know if we picked up on this, but are they a part of the Demon Slayer Corps? Like, are they members? Or, like, is he the Shira and they're just, like, obviously they're really good shinobi, but, like, are they just with him? Or are they, like, in the organization, too? I wasn't able to pick up on that.
I see it's, like, how Nezuko is with Tanjiro. Tanjiro is part of the corps, but you can have other people along with you. I don't think they're ever going to say no to getting more help and people kind of along, but I don't think they follow the strict codes and all that kind of stuff would be my guess of kind of how it is. And I think, I mean, really, they seem to always be out doing their own kind of stuff. Like, he sent them out to this whole arc is based off them going undercover for months or God knows how long. I don't remember. But so I'm sure they're not actually with him a ton of the time. I'm sure mostly they're probably gathering information on demons. He comes in and then they go on and do their own thing after that would be my guess of kind of how that works rather than fighting alongside him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. One thing I was thinking about that, like, I need your lore check on this because I totally forget. So the stuff that they were talking about with the kunai, it was made with the same stuff that they make the Demon Slayer Corps katanas Wisteria. Out of? It's the same material?
No, so I think they were Wisteria tipped is kind of how I took it off. That is, there's a poison in them. Or something kind of like that. That's usually kind of based off Wisteria. Kind of like how the shell, like those kind of bombs he had early on, had kind of Wisteria built into them. That's why they're able to damage Daki. That I think it's pretty much going to be the same with these kunai. So maybe they're built out of it and they're kind of a lace with the Wisteria. So I'm not exactly sure how it works, but ultimately we've seen that Wisteria is, or whatever the exact naming of it is required to pretty much kill demons outside of daytime. So I'm assuming it has something to do with that, whether it's a poison or something like that.
Okay. That makes sense then. Yeah, because I was a little unsure because it's been a bit since we heard about it, so I need a quick lore check. But yeah, the scene where they take the kunai launcher and he like purposely takes the hit because all he wanted to do was get an opening is like real cool. It's so cool.
Yeah, again, it just, and that goes back to like reminding us that he isn't just a human. Hashiras aren't gods, but they're not human. It feels like sometimes they're somewhere in between. They'll bleed just like everyone else, but when they have to step up, they're a different level, which I think they always kind of remind you. Even in an episode where they kind of brought him down to earth, that kind of attack there was like, nah, he's different.
I know it was figuratively speaking, they bleed just like humans, but they literally don't bleed just like humans. They could just stop the bleeding by like
that is true, by like breathing. I forget about that. Okay, so I think the last thing that we got a lot of on this one is Gyotaro's fighting, his kind of position, the introduction of cutting off both heads at once, like that there's two parts of the upper six. And just kind of dive into that and what your initial reactions are to seeing all that.
Yeah, I just, I don't want to dive too much in like the how does this work because it's a fantasy anyways, but like, how does that work of where two beings are actually one being somehow, but they all both have different abilities? So like, how does that work? Is he normally like inside of her?
I think so.
Like all the time? And like, is he the main unit? Are they both equal units?
I think they're both equal units. I think they're both parts of the upper moon. Because we saw that during this episode that she still has another eye with the upper six in the middle of her forehead. But they're combined in a way because we saw that at one point they're both saying the exact same things at once. So I think they're connected beyond just siblings in a way through the cells. So I'm taking it as like 6-1, 6-B. I'm 6-A, 6-B instead of like two separate units. So I don't know how they merge. That's something that I don't think will ever be explained. But I think they're 50-50. But I don't know why he's stronger though.
I don't know.
Again, add so many questions to a lot of this that I think it's kind of, we talk a lot about My Hero. Is I think Horikoshi does a great job for My Hero, the manga-kun, of never explaining things. And I think over-explaining this here would take away from some of it. It's just like, God, these are both cool. They've killed a ton of Hashira, and we have to kill them both at once. That's all that matters. We'll figure out everything else after the fact if we need to. And I think that's the best way to kind of approach this. So I think it's fun to kind of maybe think about for a second here and there, but we'll never get the answer. So we could sit here for 3 hours and talk about it if we wanted.
Yeah, I don't know why he is more powerful, but his abilities are way deadlier for sure. Yes. Like, obviously, he has the speed advantage because, like, and that's, like, classic trope of, like, understanding power levels is they just do speed, which I always like. I don't know why. It's still always hype, like, no matter what show it's in. Because they do this for Dragon Ball, too, of where it's, like, a speed test, and that's always, like, the indicator of, like, how powerful someone is.
My eyes can't even keep up with them. They're moving so fast. Like, that's exactly every single anime ever.
Exactly. But I also like his abilities. Like, so he has the blood, obviously, that's super strong, but also has like the poison on it too, which like, all right, do you think they're out collecting poison for this? Or do you think the poison is it like an innate ability that he
has? I think the poison kind of comes from something within like the demon blood or demon or like Muzan cells or something kind of like that. That I think, but I guess, I don't know, because then why is Zui immune to like the demon blood and stuff kind of like that? Like, poison's not always the same kind of poison. Again, I think in this world you have to treat like all poison is just the same no matter what, which makes no sense at all. But
So what I thought it was, so like the one take could be that like you're taking small amounts of poison to build a resistance to it. Instead, my take on this one, and this is getting crazy, but my take on how he trained his body for poison was on how he trains his own liver. That's my take right there, is that he trained his own liver to be able to process it or something, or I don't know, like, or his blood, so that like it's not a specific poison that he is like accustomed to. He's accustomed to the idea of things poisoning him, because we've seen that be very common with Demon Slayer already, of like controlling your breathing to do things like stop your internal bleeding, like Tanjiro does this. Doesn't Rengoku teach him that ability of like,
I think so.
Here's how to stop like the internal bleeding, like to breathe like this. So why couldn't Asui just like train his body to be able to process any poison better?
It doesn't seem that far. I mean, it doesn't seem any crazier than stopping internal breathing, bleeding, yeah. If I'm being honest with you. Like, there's nothing like, I don't think there's been anything kind of from the Demon Slayer side that like, obviously it's all kind of far stretched, but I don't think we've gone anything like past and over the edge of like, okay, this is just kind of very silly anime kind of based. Everything still seems realistic in the world of Demon Slayer.
And also, okay, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be that person, but this is Venom.
What?
It's Venom, not poison, right? Because poison you gotta ingest, right?
He says poison tipped. Unless that might be a translation difference. Yeah. But from everything I've ever read, I'm pretty sure it's poison. Like poison blades are a thing. It might be venom, the technicality, but you wouldn't say venom to blades. You still say poison to blades.
I kind of like the term venom the blade, though. That sounds really cool. It sounds so cool. How is it not cool?
Dumb. I thought you were talking about like the anti-hero Venom from Marvel. I'm like, what are you talking about at first? No, poison just works better. Everyone understands exactly what it means.
I'm gonna start saying I venom the blade. That's way edgier and way cooler.
I do not like that. It is edgier. I do not like that. All right, what else you got? Anything else on these kind of things? So I think we touched kind of on there is a little bit of history. Both their kind of fighting styles and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, do you think that this is going to be the end of the fight as they're about to cut his head off at the end?
Okay, well, no. I'm just going to say no because of the episode count. But that does make me think of, like, if it doesn't end here, how does this fight end? Because, like, I think we're at the point of where everyone's stuff is out there at this point, right? Like, we have all the wives, we have Asui fighting, we have all the boys. Like, everyone's doing their thing. What pushes this fight over the edge to get them to win? Because is it what is it? Like I don't know, because I don't think Asui has like a secret ability he's waiting to pull out or anything.
We haven't really seen that from anyone yet. Some people go plus ultra in lack of better words, for like fighting and stuff like that when Goku went to his limits right before he died and all that kind of stuff. We've seen people push a little beyond their limits when they've had to, but I think taking kunai and kind of getting really up in this face is already pretty close to that. So yeah, I agree of kind of seeing what changes there.
I don't think Asui dies because we just had an Ashira death. They can't kill two in a row. That'd be crazy.
Why not?
But what? I guess they don't. Why not? They can't.
Because Demon Slayer. Everyone dies in Demon Slayer.
They can't.
Have we met a character that? Yes, they can.
No. Okay. Here's why. Okay. I don't think Asui's gonna die, but here's the way I think that they give us the ending with an impact, and then they don't keep just killing Hashira off.
Okay.
It's one of the wives. It's one of the wives that does it. Like, I could paint out the end of the fight of where things are getting really tough, and like they want to take him out or whatever, and then like one of the wives who is ultra dedicated to Asui, like they keep reiterating how much they love Asui and like would do anything for him, is the one to jump in front, and it's like this whole big moment of where Asui is like, well, I gotta save everyone here because there's a ton of people, and but by doing this he won't be able to save the wife, and it's like he's coming to grips with it, and they've been not hyping up, but they've been talking about the relationship that his wives and him have and all the things that they've been through together. It could be a good end to the fight. It could be good. It could
be a great end of the fight.
Don't kill War Hashira, please. We'll have to wait.
We got 3 episodes left after this.
But yeah, I think that's the only thing I'm kind of thinking about how they actually end the fight. But yeah, that's all I got, because this is mostly like fighting episode, and it's hard to talk abstractly about fighting episodes a little bit, but it's good. The fights are really good. The choreography is really good. I like the abilities that are being used. The animation's really good. I just want more. I just want to keep watching it.
Well, good thing you get more, because we're going to wrap up this episode going through everything that happened in episode 8, Gathering. And we will be back to go through everything that happened in episode 9 as the fight continues. Thank you all so much for listening and watching. If you're looking for more, as always, go over to youtube.com/class1a to get everything over there, or twitter.com/class1apod to make sure to stay updated with everything we're going to do over there, Demon Slayer and My Hero Academia related. Thank you all so much for watching, and hope you guys come back for the next episode.